the preamble to this is basically, you know, we're here in Canada. There's all this tyranny. Yes, it is tyranny. And it has been for quite some time now. And they're telling us that if we leave, if we exercise our Charter 6 right to leave this country, to come and go freely, like free citizens that we are, when we come back, we're subject to, well, a 3-day stay in a hotel.
Otherwise known as COVID jail.
Yeah.
At the expense of around $3,000. And COVID tests should really take no more than 24 hours. And if you do get your test in 24 hours, of course, they bill you for all 3 days. So it's I'm actually shocked that the hotel chains are participating in this, because I think it's going to irreparably damage their brand. I mean, if you have a choice, excuse me, to in future stay at a hotel or a chain, will you make the choice to stay at some of these locations that have been operated as COVID jails? I mean, I would argue that one should not.
Yeah, Hilton's and Wyndham's, I think. But yeah, I mean, they're obviously big businesses, what's running the world right now, right? So we shouldn't be too surprised. But anyway, the bottom line is here, you know, I studied up, thanks to actually to you, Mike, coming back from Colombia and your experience, and we built upon that and, you know, studied on the Quarantine Act. Like, I studied it, I had it screenshot on my phone. Section 58D states that basically you can't be detained if you've got a reasonable plan. You're an adult, you're responsible, you've got a plan. You can't be detained, I mean, if there's a reasonable path forward. So that's 58D of the Quarantine Act. And then section 14.1 says right there, like, you can't administer a test to anybody if it penetrates your body. And that's, you know, half of a nanomillimeter all the way to 10 inches, whatever, like they're doing in Asia, shoving them up their ass, right? So those are the two things that say, I don't need the hotel and I don't need the test, period. And that's the Quarantine Act. This is the new act that was written after the charter, right? And the charter, Section 6, says basically, not basically, it says, you're a Canadian citizen, you're free to travel, to come and go from this country and between provinces and take up life in another province. It's like very, very clear. So you just exert your rights as a Canadian citizen and you should breeze through this and, you know, get, I don't know if you get fines or not. I didn't get any fines. We'll get into the video. I had my my daughter videotape this whole thing, and it was incognito. The phone was in her purse just sticking out. She's, you know, 11-year-old kid. We went to Costa Rica to, you know, well, we're getting out of here, period. Fucking end of story. So that's why we went. So, and I wasn't about to stay in a fucking quarantine hotel and eat Kit Kats and do anything for that matter. I don't care if it's a 5-star. So that's the story. Is it true? Can you get through it? I think we know that it's bullshit based on your experience. Your ticket got thrown out.
Yeah. So in the time that we last spoke on the show about my experiences coming home, I have received a full waiver. They basically said that the ticket is wiped. It's not enforceable and they're abandoning it. One thing that I would like to bring up is that at Vancouver Airport, there has only been 106 individuals ticketed out of 7,140 COVID hotel reservations. We don't know if how many of those 7,000 are single occupancy or multiple occupancy. So Canadians are at most 0.01% non-compliant, which is disgusting for many reasons. I mean, when you see the video and how easy it is to exert your rights and how quickly these officials provide no resistance because they realize what they're doing is illegal, they simply bend in front of you. And so what we really need to have Canadians do more of is get traveling, do whatever you want to do, provided that it's legal and it is within the bounds of the Constitution. And of course, you know, we just before we got on air here, we were talking about these illegal highway roadblocks that the RCMP have set up in a number of locations here in British Columbia. And traffic's actually very quiet. When I drove over this way, there was sort of a blip of traffic. And then once I cleared that, it was like smooth sailing. Nobody's on the road. And West Kelowna in particular, today and yesterday were very, very calm traffic-wise. And of course, West Kelowna would be where people from the lower mainland are transiting through to either stay in Kelowna or continue on further. And there's very little traffic. So unfortunately, again, we have these compliant sheep. And as our colleague Archer Pawlowski said, you know, they're part of the problem. You know, if you're not fighting for your freedom at this point, you're wearing a mask, you're not choosing not to travel, you're bending to the master's will, you are unfortunately part of the problem and complicit in your own demise and your fellow man's demise.
Yeah, the show's over. The gig is up, people. Like, it's, we're done here. We're done. And if you're not done, you're fucked. Like, fuck you if you're not done. I should really watch the language. But anyways, it really, nothing gets me riled up more than this assault on our freedoms. It's crazy. You take this stuff for granted.
Yeah, right? and it's you know, the, if this was a difficult process, if you wound up, you know, having to undergo 10 hours of interrogation and intimidation and it was a major onerous process, at some point you would say, well, I'll just pay the money, you know, as essentially a bribe, as Pawlowski was saying, in a communist dictatorship. You're paying a bribe so you have the privilege of traveling. Well, you don't have to, you know, so if people are choosing not to travel because they can't afford a trip plus a COVID hotel, well, there is no expense for a COVID hotel.
Because it's all fear propaganda.
It's all illegal. So, and as you'll see in the video, I mean, the airports are empty. So I can only imagine, you know, all the businesses in the airport, all the people and resorts in these travel destinations, these tourist destinations that require people there to survive. And of course, you know, if a friend's in Cuba, that are eating once a day. They're starving because there's simply no money. You know, their governments don't have the ability to print endless fiat currency the way our government does, because those countries actually need foreign currency that they have to purchase or earn for them to be able to bring products into their country. So it's we're in a very dangerous situation here, and people need to wake up to it. And if they don't, they're going to find themselves in a much more tyrannical situation than they are presently, because what we see right now is, you know, the absolute surface layer. What is to come is exponentially much worse.
Oh, yeah, it's happening rapidly right in front of our eyes with the internet censorship bill, C-10, just being plowed through, and it did. They're done debating it. They're done. No more debating. That happened the other day. With the now the military slowly being just death by a thousand cuts right now. They're deploying just the medical part in Ontario there, not the guys at the checkpoints with the guns and stuff, but it's starting, right? It's just get used to the word military,
sure,
being in the mainstream media, right? Sure. In your psyche. It's just very slow, gradual creep.
It's there for your protection. You know, we don't want COVID to spread because COVID is dangerous. And of course, what we're doing isn't dangerous or isn't harmful to your health, which is, it's ridiculous. I mean, we've entered into a medical dictatorship or a scientism dictatorship. And I think that the people on the other side of this are laughing their heads off at what a bunch of compliant sheep that the population, particularly of Canada, is. You know, and the crazy thing is you know, 6 months ago, even this would be maybe an argument which had some loose ends to it. But at this point, when we look at Florida, I mean, there was just a UFC fight a couple weekends ago where there was 15 or 16,000 people in attendance, most of them not wearing masks. Was there a COVID outbreak? No, of course not. I mean, and then of course, some of those southern states, the governors have said, you know, have enacted law. There will be no vaccine passports. A business or company that discriminates based on your vaccination has a, you know, $5,000 to $5 million fine to pay. I mean, they're really, really pushing for these personal freedoms. And many other states have opened up or relaxed their restrictions with no COVID problems. And so what is happening in Canada? Is Canada just a bunch of unhealthy people? I don't think so. I think that we're just being, the wool is being pulled over our eyes in a dramatic fashion. And you know, if people don't do something very, very quickly, I mean, I think there's literally weeks left here, you know, maybe 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that. But there's certainly not much longer that if the government doesn't see masses of people on the street, and I'm not calling for, you know, unruly protests or riots, but a peaceful assembly where people make their voices heard, where they realize that there's hundreds of thousands of people that oppose them, And that strength in numbers is the only thing which is going to be able to repel what's to come. And if people stay at home and wear their muzzle and stay on the leash of the government, then enjoy that, because that's all that you're going to receive for the rest of your lifetime and your children's lifetime.
Yeah, and that's what's coming, unfortunately. But anyway, well, you know, a little bit of, you know, this isn't really optimism, this video I'm going to roll, but this certainly should just show you that, show people that, you know, they put these orders out, just like they're doing the checkpoints right now, right? Rah, 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 don't do this or this will happen. But when you just read up on the Charter of Rights and you read up on their little quarantine acts, I mean, it's their own language in there, and people should read up on in BC here specifically on the Human Rights Act. Like all these people that tell you, you know, if you're not wearing a mask, to get out of their store, and you tell them you have a medical exemption, and you know they don't take that. First of all, they don't even ask to see it. They just say, "Get out, go wait out there," and like they still are saying, "Get out." You know, now you know how it feels to be discriminated against. It's actual discrimination. You know, you actually have a medical exemption and, you know, now you're treated like a second class citizen. I now know what it's like to be discriminated against. Well, poor pitiful me. I did get the feeling, though. You know, I got that feeling. So I'm just saying, you know, it's working. But anyway, let's roll this video here. So this is me coming in from Costa Rica. We're going to roll this.
And if not for optimism, let's call this encouragement.
Yeah, exactly.
This is, you know, this is a gentleman, you know, with his daughter coming home from a vacation and a exploration trip. Every single Canadian can do the same thing if they, you know, grab their balls, take off the mask, quit being a sheeple and get on with it.
Yeah.
And exert your constitutional rights that are enshrined within our charter.
Yeah, and I point out I am wearing a mask here, and the reason for that is I'm in an airport. Yeah, I have mask exemption, but my daughter doesn't, and, you know, I'm just not going to go there, right? I'm not going to go there in an airport. I'm already doing this shit, you know, so I chose to just be a little bit incognito, and it's nice for the camera thing anyway, like not having...
Well, and my experience certainly was that I was really not being masked, really pushed the situation
exactly.
To the next level. You know, the non-compliant virus alarm was going off extremely loudly. So that is, you know, I would recommend, you know, if you feel confident enough, leave the mask off and exert your mask exemption. But if you want this process to go a little more smoothly, it's like how many wars do you want to fight
exactly.
at one time?
Exactly. Yeah. Let's roll the vid.
Walkfest.
Hello, please have your VaxCard code ready, shown clearly at the bottom, please.
I like how there's more staff than travelers.
Yeah. I love these face shields.
Yep. You hold the hotel for 3 days quarantine?
Yep.
Uh-oh, non-complier.
Okay, sir, you need to talk to the officer regarding this. Do you have Nexus card?
No, I have a class.
Notice the cop right here on the left.
Good day, officer.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good flight?
Excellent.
You're the first person that's talked to him all day.
Yeah, and note for later, this becomes relevant, that very peaceful interaction with the officer, the very calm interaction.
Congenial.
We'll come back to that. So I'm just going to buzz through all this jazz here. Blah, 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 blah. Doing all that. And then we go to the
CBSA wicket.
Here we go.
Hello. Who is that?
We live in Kelowna.
Where do you go?
Costa Rica.
There.
Looking at property.
Getting the fuck out.
So just pause it there for a moment, Mitch. So he's asked the question, do you have a hotel booked? And you answer no. And he basically doesn't flinch.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. He's not attached to the outcome of your answer whatsoever. He's not there to enforce something that's not enforceable. And I think actually within CBSA, because this is similar to my experience, is they don't want anything to do with it because they're upholding the law. Hmm. They pass the buck to Health Canada to break the law.
Yeah, got it.
Is there?
COVID tests.
Pardon me? Oh, yeah. Same place.
He's just asking if the other parent is aware we're traveling together there.
We're not. She's 11.
And he asked me if I have a note. She's 11. I'm pretty sure I don't need a note for 11. Could be wrong. Doesn't matter. He's doing his job.
Interesting, though, that they would ask as a Canadian citizen.
Mom,
coming
on this trip?
Mm-hmm.
Your mom know
you're
on this trip?
Yep.
Confirmed. Funny thing is she's got this phone in her purse, all incognito. Nobody has any idea. And she's just like, I'm doing a good job here. Like, I'm not fucking this up. Because I told her, I'm like, you can't fuck this up.
I don't see red.
Oh, I see nothing but red, actually.
Right.
He's just telling me to go see it.
Is there any... Sorry, I'm a little bit hard of hearing.
Sorry, is there any reason that you're traveling?
I didn't say I was exempt.
Yeah.
Does that have a reasonable quarantine yeah. at our house?
Yeah. Which is an okay, so the reason I'm asking is to see if there is a situation.
I don't know. You didn't miss anything. Just exerting my constitutional right, yeah. Section 6.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
So just pause it there, Mitch, again. So there was some of that audio was a little difficult to hear. Yeah. Basically, he's asking why you haven't booked a COVID hotel.
Yeah.
And he's basically saying, are you exempt for some reason?
Yeah.
To which you answer, no, I'm exerting my Section 6 of the Charter, my ability to freely travel in and out of the country as a citizen of Canada.
Yeah.
And his response is completely lawful. Okay. He just hands you the paperwork because he wants nothing to do with that. He doesn't want to wind up in a Nuremberg trial being court-martialed for treason.
True.
Behind or in front?
Okay. Calgary Airport, empty in the background. Yeah. Empty.
So imagine what this is costing the taxpayer.
Look at
right
the kids.
Now. Oh, the abused kids with the masks on their face?
Yeah, I know the taxpayers. Yeah, a lot of money. So much police presence there.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Like, 8 times the normal. Usually there's 1 police officer in the Calgary airport.
Well, and then, of course, if you've got 10,000 travelers
a day. There's one right there.
If you have 10,000 travelers a day moving through the airport, you're actually paying for everyone's wages.
Here we go. We're going to interact with the health.
It's your declaration card, please. One of the pictures. There you go.
Sounds like a big tough guy.
Did you guys do the arrive cam?
Yes, sir. Would you like to see it?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment. No, he doesn't need it. He's got the information right there on his computer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that from that declaration card, he knows that you're a non-complier. And he's just double-checking it because he's like, oh, God, my day just became horrible.
No, I'm sure they live for this shit. Actually.
If they could throw you in jail, I would agree.
Right.
But because they're essentially powerless. It's
hang on. Oh, he found me.
Oh, it was a boy. That's good.
The customs officer said you didn't book the hotel?
No.
You plan to?
No.
No? Right on. Do you know the possible penalties for that?
Yes, I do.
What are they?
$3,000 fines or $1,000 fine every day. Yes, I'm aware of all that. I know the Quarantine Act as well, and I know the Charter of Rights quite well. We have a very reasonable and safe quarantine plan. We live in a 2-acre property that's gated and fenced. We have food stocked there for 2 weeks. Her and I will be traveling directly there. My vehicle is here at the airport, and when we arrive, we will be doing our 14-day quarantine.
Are you doing arrival testing?
No, we didn't.
You will be. Will you be doing that?
No, I won't be. Because right here in the Quarantine Act, it states that no test shall penetrate my body. And
did you do a test again on the plane to come here?
Yes, I did.
So what is the issue now?
Well, because now I'm a Canadian citizen, and Charter of Rights Section 6 says that I am free to come and go.
No one's stopping you from going and going, sir. This is a book contact tracing for a pandemic.
Yeah, no, we won't be taking the test.
It would look a lot better on you right now, because I, you know, well,
if you like, you can give me a fine, sir.
Oh, no, that'll be coming later, sir.
And they will be thrown out in court.
Oh, no, you're thinking about the provincial ones. Yeah. This is federal.
Sure.
Sure, but no, that'll be coming.
They will be thrown out as well.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, you see right here, it's your own government's act, right? Let's see.
I'll just make it clear that your behavior will be reported on here.
Behavior.
My behavior is what? That I am
very
just
aggressive.
Very aggressive.
I'm being polite with you right now.
We're filming this whole thing. I'm not being aggressive at all.
That's fine. You're fine.
Uh-oh, busted.
Oh, so busted.
For the record, he said very aggressive. I didn't even notice that until I watched this video later because it was very quiet. Very aggressive. For the record.
Absolutely. And he can tell that he's been kind of baiting you along. I mean, this was my experience as well, is that they try to get you aggravated. And if you don't respond to their game, there's nothing they can do.
Yeah. Let's hear that one more time.
I'm aggressive.
I'm being polite with you right now. And
we're filming this whole thing. I'm not being aggressive at all.
That's fine.
How am I being aggressive? I have not even raised my voice.
Thank you for admitting your phone.
I have not even raised my voice one little bit. I've been reading your own government's Quarantine Act and Constitution Act very calmly. So there is no aggressive behavior. Agreed? Do you agree? You can't just make stuff up, sir. I'm not aggressive. I was calmly reading to you the Charter of Right and the Quarantine Act.
See your COVID test results, please.
Right here, 14.1. 14, section 14.1. Anything that does.
Is everything okay? Do you need your bum wiped? Like, come on. Like.
Yeah, so she comes in there as backup because they plan this, right?
Sure.
And he says, oh, they're just he's just recording there with his daughter. She makes eye contact with the camera.
And leaves.
And leaves.
Books it.
So what does the fact that we're recording have anything to do with anything right now?
Well, because this could be used in a Nuremberg-style trial, and they're committing treason.
But it just goes to show, if she had something to say, she was going to say it until she found out. Let's
one.
Watch.
Right. 14, section 14.1. Anything that does not involve the entry into the traveler's body of any instrument or other foreign body. Okay? And you want to shove something up my nose.
And then,
just to be clear.
Just to kind of expand on the point that you made there, Mitch, in terms of the what they're trying to do here. If you were doing something illegal, all those cops would be on you and arresting you. And that was, in my experience, the deductive reasoning shows that you are not doing anything illegal. Otherwise, the RCMP or the Calgary police in this case would be arresting you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And here I say something. Watch this.
Okay. Can you please confirm you're removing the aggressive comment from the file?
Sir, I don't have to explain what I have to do.
Well, we have video evidence that I'm not being aggressive. Won't look good in court if we end up there.
Yeah. Good thing we were filming, because the underlying theme here is this guy tried to bait me into being very aggressive, like you warned me, Mike, and I didn't. I mean, I wasn't, period. So then he states that he's marking that down on my file at very aggressive. That's a bold-faced lie, period. End of story, end of discussion. That's not very aggressive.
No, I don't think any, I mean, assertive, yes, mm-hmm. but there's a big difference between aggressive and assertive, and there's absolutely no law against being assertive. And again, if you were causing a problem, one of those peace officers would be stepping in to probably warn you first that if you continue along those lines of action, you will be arrested for disturbing the peace. And if you continue to do so, you would be arrested. But there is nothing for them to arrest you for whatsoever. Therefore, like everybody who's watching this, this is... anyone, that's any Canadian standing there. That's, you know, anyone can do this. It's a very, very simple process. Nobody should be going to these COVID hotels unless you enjoy, you know, persecution and tyranny and you want that for all Canadians. Continue to do what you're told.
Yeah. So I'm just going to buzz here to, this is quite a long process to just sit here. I think it's right about here. I'm going to hit play.
He's probably checking
his email. He stamps it here.
Okay, yeah. So my understanding was the
compliance. So you're aware of me going to compliance enforcement, go decide the next step. Have a good day, sir.
Take care.
All right, so just so you're aware, it'll be going to compliance enforcement. They'll take it from there. And I'm out. No ticket.
Yeah, and compliance and enforcement is on the quarantine side, so they could potentially send somebody to knock on your door to check on you. I'm sure that you've got a couple of phone calls by now checking in on you to make sure that you're being a good little sheep and staying within your stable and not leaving. Beyond that, they don't have the manpower. They don't have the budget to be sending
people.
Look at
the empty airport.
Yeah. I mean, this is terrible. It's tragic what's happening here.
So just hang on. That's over. Let me do something here. There we go. So I'm just going to read this for everybody's knowledge. You just pull this up on your phone. You can find it on the government's website. So this is the Quarantine Act. This is Section 58D. And it just says order prohibiting entry into Canada. So you can't come into Canada unless one of these things is applicable. And it's right here, 58D, no reasonable alternatives to prevent the introduction or spread of the disease are available. Right there. So you want to send me to a quarantine hotel. You want to frickin' administer these tests that violate my body. These tests that are, by the way, frickin' flip a coin for the result. They probably want, anyway. But right here, it says no reasonable alternative. Well, guess what? I have a reasonable alternative, and I stated that to the guy, right? And here it is.
Oh, and that's why you're at home now, not in a COVID jail. And, you know, the other thing that people have to be made aware of is, and one of the reasons that I was arguing with my Health Canada nurse is like, listen, the cycle rate of that test isn't disclosed. And we know now from work that's been done that if the cycle rate is much beyond 35, 37, it's meaningless because almost everything, you have a 90%+ false positive rate. So if you're in COVID jail and you get a positive result, you're there for 14 days. If you can't clear for whatever reason, let's say you may have had a flu vaccine in the past and you've got a lot of these antibodies in your system.
You're never leaving.
You're never leaving. And probably what's going to happen to some of those people is that they're going to, most people won't be able to continue to afford $1,000 a day at a 3-star hotel. They will then take you to an internment camp where, you know, God knows when the hell you get out of there.
Jesus. So I'm going to go ahead and read Section 14.1 of the Quarantine Act, screening tech. Any qualified person authorized by the minister may administer a screen, provided that does not involve the entry into the traveler's body of any instrument or other foreign body. So that's any instrument, anything. It can't go in and up here. That's in. Okay. So
yeah. So period. Temperature check is permitted, and
with a laser. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then right here, this is your charter, section 6. Every citizen of Canada has the right to enter, remain in, and leave Canada. The right to move and gave livelihood, you know, move freely between the province, to move and take up residence in any other province, to gain the pursuit of happiness. Like, these are enshrined. Anyway, but it's a pandemic. That's what the little health guy said, right? But it's a pandemic.
Well, which, you know, again, in my situation, I said that, you know, that's a matter of opinion, and that won't, you know, your data will not stand up to a test of tort in court. It's simple. Yeah.
The problem is the technocrats are in charge.
None of this is going to court. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with us, you know, on a second or third offense of this type of nature, whether, you know, they're going to ramp up things, or, you know, if by displaying your canceled ticket, they're just going to, you know, roll their eyes and, you know, get you out of there. Well,
you got a ticket. I didn't. That's the big difference.
Well, so, and this is, you know, it, part of our strategy in figuring out how to get you back in the easiest possible way was that we had intel that said that Calgary is much more straightforward than Vancouver. And certainly seeing that video, they've got things set up in a much more expeditious fashion in Calgary. And, you know, which again begs the question, well, if Vancouver's issuing tickets that no one is in the right mind would pay or have to pay, then why isn't Calgary doing that? Toronto again is issuing tickets. So there is no national cohesive authority going on here either, which again, none of this makes any sense. So people have to start asking questions. You know, if five things don't make sense, why do you expect the sixth thing is making sense?
Yeah.
You know,
unfortunately, that's what it is. But I got to say this, we're going to keep this one short. You know, the next trip I make out of this country, which will be very soon here, as you know, I'm packing a sea container and I've moved all my assets out and I'm out, will be the last. I won't be coming back in until this is over. And I hope it is over, but I don't think this is ever over. Me and you, we've gone out into the streets. We've done our work. We've gone and tried rallying people. We've asked random people on the street, you know, what they think. We've collected the data. Me and you have. And me and a couple of my other friends as well. We went around 3-4 months ago and we collected all this data. And the bottom line is there's just a bunch of compliers out there. And nobody's standing up, 300, 400 people in Salmon Arm, you know, 1,000 people maybe in Kelowna. There's 250,000 people in this region of Okanagan here, right?
And yeah, I mean, at this present moment, if there's something more important to you, I mean, unless you've got a newborn child or an elderly parent that you have to take care of, if there's something more important to you than getting out in the street and demanding your freedom, you got a problem. Right. And, you know, and I'm not really one for the protests because I don't think they really work. And part of that is because we haven't seen the numbers. I mean, if there was an organizer and we knew there was 100,000 or 500,000, you know, look for the Festival of Light, the fireworks show in Vancouver, it's not uncommon to get 400,000 or 500,000 people out to that. Those people are going to see a light show. Where are those people demanding their freedom?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's what happened in Ukraine there. They started, you know, communicating on, it was social media, it was Facebook, and that's how 1 million people showed up there, and they eventually actually took back their country or whatever. It took 100 days, but, you know, they had to organize. But the problem is now you can't organize on Facebook, I'm sure they don't let that happen.
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, you'd be shut down immediately, but, you know, there's other means to do that, whether it's a Telegram group chat or whatever.
But
there's
masses, like 500,000 people, like Facebook runs everything, right? Where else are you going to do that? Instagram? Oh, they're owned by Facebook. Where? Twitter? Oh, they're Jack Dorsey. Yeah. Like, you're fucked. Parler? Nobody's on Parler.
Parler's gone.
No, I think it's back, but you know what I'm saying. Only there's very few people on Parler. It's just they've got us. Yeah. It's that simple. They've got us.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's not the case, and I hope that something changes. But you know, when you look at everything that's happening and the bigger picture, you know, when you've got Ray Dalio and Warren Buffett warning of runaway inflation, they're taking steps with their billions to insulate themselves from this coming inflation. You know, they've created this inflation because they're the ones or their organizations are pulling the strings. So they're going to benefit from it. They're going to see their wealth increase 100-fold. They don't care about anybody else. And so if people out there, you know, the average citizen doesn't care about themselves either, then you're going to be on a leash with a muzzle for the rest of your life owned by the government. And,
yeah.
And that's, you know, I just, the level of apathy is truly shocking. And, you know, we've had the conversation. It's like, well, are we crazy people? You know, are we fringe lunatics, or have we just spent the time to figure out and put the pieces together and see what's coming? And maybe it's 2 years, maybe it's 5 years, maybe it's 10 years. But, you know, Agenda 2030 is a real thing. And everything else that has been put in place prior to has, you know, more or less come to pass. And you know, we have some of these figureheads talking about the fact that the 08-09 crisis wasn't exploited the way it could have been to create this new world order and this shift. You know, I'm sure some of these rank and file sustainability people believe in what they're doing in terms of saving the planet or whatever this is. But at the top of these organizations, they are hell bent on the destruction of, you know, majority of the population so that they're going to have a giant park to play in.
It's pretty simple. You interviewed Dr. Wood, right, the other day?
He's not a doctor. Patrick Wood, the author.
Patrick Wood, yeah. The author. Look, anybody listening, just look into technocracy, okay? Look into the Trilateral Commission. Just go and listen to the Martin's Critical Review podcast, episode number 64. Just go listen to it. I'll throw the link in here. It's crazy. This guy's written the book on the subject. He went through the Edmonton Library for a week reading. He's from Arizona, reading all the depositor. Elon Musk's grandfather was a fucking technocrat. It all sounds crazy. Rockefeller hooked up with him in 72. Met with the chairman of China in 74. UN passes a resolution 1301 in 76. Like, it's a thing.
Yeah,
technocracy is a thing.
It's real. There's no question. And you know, part of the problem here is that the technocrats have, in fact, created this specter of the CCP as this world oppressor. And again, it's created another level of division, and the communist this, communist that. And yes, you know, when we hear people, this is looking like a communist totalitarian takeover. But that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to have some face to it. They don't want you to know who's truly behind this movement. And this is, you know, as you mentioned, the Trilateral Commission was formed almost 50 years ago. These are, you know, all the power brokers of our modern era, other than Obama. We have the Clintons, we have the Bushes, the Rockefeller,
Fauci,
Ray Dalio. All these guys are either Trilateral Commission or Council on Foreign Relations members. They all meet regularly. They're all in a program together to become the overlords of the world. And if people think that's crazy or whatever it is, you know, do your own research. And you know, even my mother and father, who've been quite skeptical of this whole thing after hearing that Patrick Wood interview, you know, because a lot of this is news that they've heard throughout their lifetime, little snippets, you know, Trilateral Commission, this person, that person. And you know, they're in their late 70s now. They've seen an assemblage of what's happening. And I think that they're beginning to see the bigger picture of what's going on. And, you know, more people need to see that. And the sooner the better, because otherwise you will have nothing. And as Klaus Schwab says, you know, you will be happy, but I don't think there are going to be very, very many happy people.
No, they're delusional, these technocrats. No. But the problem with the older crowd is they don't have a fight left in them. It's just, they just want to enjoy the rest of their 10, 20 years left on this planet if they're lucky, right? That's my experience. I mean, I even went to the old barber shop a couple weeks ago before my trip there. And, you know, that guy was from Hungary. He's from Poland, I believe. Yeah, Poland. He was from Hungary. But anyway, he was disappointing because he's usually, I've talked to him a lot, right? And he's usually a bit of a warrior, but he was just like, no, they're coming. And the best thing you can do is just accept it. And, you know, otherwise you're going to be dead. They're just going to kill you. It's like, okay.
Yeah. And you know, it's as we had Archer Pelosi on, Pastor Archer Pelosi earlier. And something that he said that really struck a chord was that they're, you know, when we talked about this, you'll be happy. You'll nothing will be happy. And he said, yeah, you know, they're going to come for your house. They're going to come for your car. Everything will be state owned. And no matter what it is, you will have nothing. And, you know, that's something that people really need to understand what that means, because if, you know, not that you need to be a materialistic person or something, but you will have no base, you will have no attachment to anything.
No soul, no heart.
No home. I mean, you will be essentially a slave. When you cannot make choices for yourself, you are, I think, by definition,
could
a slave.
Could you imagine living that way with just nothing to strive for, no goals to reach for, just waiting for your next order to come down from the sky?
And we've had this in the Soviet Union, we had it in the Eastern Bloc of Europe, where there was nothing but despair. Nobody, why would you work hard? You know, the difference between you busting your ass trying to accomplish something might be $100 a month versus your universal basic income for doing next to nothing. So why would anybody choose to do? I mean, Cuba is another example. I mean, there are some benefits of what they have down there, but you know, their shelves are bare, particularly now with what's going on down there, things are really bad. So socialism does, or Venezuela. I mean, Venezuela, there's more Venezuela. The Venezuelans are flooding out of the country. And, you know, you may be one of the first Canadian refugees to leave Canada, probably not the first, but in the first wave. And unfortunately, I think there's going to be a lot of people that wish they were part of those earlier waves, because once the Iron Curtain comes down, nobody's leaving.
Is this early? Jesus, it feels late to me. It feels like, you know, the clock is ticking, like get out now. I feel a lot of anxiety. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about this. And one thing, though, that the good barber there said, that I thought it was a good analogy, is he said, you know, they're trying to break the West. Like, they don't have to break the third world countries. They don't have to break China. They don't have to even break Europe, you know, aside from a few. But like, you know, you think of a wild horse, right? And, you know, a Mustang, right? And what do? They break them, right? And it's hard to break them, and some break easier than others. And that's what the U.S. and Canada is. We're wild horses, right? Anything is possible. This is how we roll. And they're trying to break us, and they are breaking us, not us, right? But they're breaking a lot of people. They're breaking us.
Anybody that you see with a mask walking around
now, 14 months later, after all the data's in, that broken. They don't work. Yeah, they're broken.
They're broken. They're done.
They're done.
They're done. And you know, whatever. And again, you know, I don't consume any mainstream media other than, you know, bits and pieces that I'll see when I'm out and about. And you know, they've got the fear dial turned up, and the misinformation. You know, get your vaccine, blah blah blah. And of course, you know, we just had the incident where the Seychelles, which is one of the most vaccinated countries in the world now, is going through a COVID wave. And, you know, I hope that they're not seeing a lot of pathogenic priming, because there's a lot of lovely people. The Seychellois are lovely people. And, you know, obviously their economy relies heavily on tourism, and there's a small population. I think there's less than 500,000 that live within the islands, maybe even less than that, 300,000. So it's collectively they can move very quickly. And of course, you know, rounding up 200,000 or 250,000 vaccine doses isn't very difficult. And yet, so that's got to raise alarm. I mean, if I'm in a position of public health and I see that as an example and I'm trying to vaccinate my population, well, what am I doing?
What's the point?
Yeah. And you know, something which really has, I think, hasn't been touched on. If 100 million Americans have been vaccinated with one or two doses, but I think that number is more, that's maybe a couple week old number now. Think about what that number is worth in revenue for those pharmaceutical companies.
Mm, yeah, well, if it was $100 a vaccine, for example.
We don't know what it is.
That'd be $10 billion, I think.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's $10 a vaccine.
It'll be $100.
It's still astronomical numbers.
And plus, they got all those checks to develop it, right?
Course, yeah.
Which they've probably been developing it. It's all sugar water anyway. Or maybe it's not. I don't know. Let's not go down that fucking bad word lane. But listen, that's it. I'm literally out. I'll fire this thing back up. Good job today with the pastor. I enjoyed hosting that. We'll post that up. We had, what was his name, Pastor?
Pastor Artur Pawlowski from the Street Church Ministry. He's got ministries all over the world, but I guess it must be headquartered in Calgary, where he is located.
Yeah, warrior.
Absolute warrior.
Absolute warrior. I love that. He actually gave me shivers when, you know, he went off a couple times and read that scripture right out of the Bible. So anyways, look, I still got lots of fight left in me, but I'm going to take the fight offshore, and we'll see what you're doing. You know, I'm thinking, you know, you're leaning that direction too.
I think so. I mean, it's a, as a pragmatic decision, to exit now, at the, you know, peak or potentially close to the peak of the housing market here, you know, based on the macroeconomics of what's going on in Canada, other than inflationary pressures, these property prices can't continue. And of course, if for some unknown reason we would start to see some interest rates hikes, the housing market will collapse overnight. So, you know, why not wait this out? I think what is coming will come to pass. I think there isn't any turning this around at this point. So whatever mechanisms are being put in place to direct society, wherever it's heading there. There's probably going to be an ugly end to that. But how long is that going to take? Is it going to be 18 months?
10 years?
20 years? Whatever it is. And I'm not willing to endure what is to come. And I think my decision to exit has been largely based on what I see as the apathy of Canadians and the fact that there's simply not enough people that are willing to fight. And I'm not, you know, and Archer, you know what? Bless the man. He's taking the fight to the streets. He's unyielding. You know, I'll live to fight another day, like the Knights Hospitalier at the siege of Rhodes by the Sultan Suleiman. They negotiated a surrender and left, and you know, many years, about 40 years later on Malta, they actually defeated the Turks. So I think, you know, we're not cowards in our surrender. We're simply looking to regroup, protect ourselves, protect our families, and then try to do something from outside, because from within, you're just going to be crushed. I mean, you know, even if you and I had $500 million to devote towards this cause, number one, that money would probably be seized. We couldn't bring it into the country. And so what do you, whoever is trapped here, your assets will be trapped. You will be trapped. Your freedom is gone. And, you know, then they're going to start to starve you, because, you know, how do you form a compliant society? Well, you don't feed them much, and there's not going to be a whole lot of fight in them. And, yeah, you know, that's where we're headed.
They turn the lights out like that.
Well, of course, that's part of sustainability, right? Because this room has too many watts of luminosity going on, so we need to cut that in half. And we'll adjust your carbon tax upwards. So at the end of the day, you've got nothing left in your pocket.
Yeah. Or to your point, you know, if we were to stay and try and, you know, push back or whatever, you're just on a list somewhere, and it's just click right now. All I've been doing is just having conversations with a few, you know, intelligent people. Haven't really been, you know, getting too crazy, you know. Yeah, go through the border and push back and know your rights. But other than that, nothing too crazy. I mean, look, they put what's his name on a no fly list. Like, you know, next thing you know, it's just your banks can go and take your money if you owe, you know, a tax debt. Then so they can just say under the emergency order, blah, 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 and just clink your bank's done. Out. You're done. Yeah, your money's done. You're done. Yeah. You're done.
Well, and I think, you know, again, as Archer explained to us, when this new regime comes in there, it's unquestionably, we already see it from the communists in Victoria, where they, you know, the privilege of the rich to have two homes. Well, what if I inherited that home from my grandmother in the Okanagan and I lived in the Lower Mainland, and that's been in the family for 50 years or longer? Suddenly, somehow, that puts me into a different economic category. And, you know, 1% was maybe a tolerable number to pay, but, you know, they raise it to 5%. So I guarantee you that there's going to be capital taxes coming from Ottawa. There's going to be property taxes coming, because the quicker that they can suck money out of the middle class and seize their assets, the less people there are to fight against.
Again, they're breaking
yeah,
us.
Yeah, of course. And in the process, seizing assets, you know, it's like the king plundering his people, you know, back in the Middle Ages. Okay, we need to raise an army. Everyone's got to, you know, pull out your grandmother's wedding ring from wherever you have it hidden, and we're melting it down into gold coins to pay the soldiers. I mean, it's history. Again, as Archer mentioned, you know, people have a very a dim understanding of history. It's boring or whatever it is, but, you know, learning what has happened in the past is essential so that we don't continue to do those same mistakes, whether that's the leadership or the rank and file. And, you know, people aren't taking notice as to what's going on.
Yeah. Wake up.
Wake up, you know, take the mask off, demand your freedom, or it will be taken from you.
Yeah. And if you don't want to be broke, don't get broke, and don't get woke. Let's leave it at that.
All right. Ciao.
Peace
everyone.
Out.
Peace out.
Peace.